is the day God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the moment God has given us. Let us be open and be fed by it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, holy cow, we need more chairs. You are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information, nobody in the room is listening to me. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link, our weekly email newsletter. See, those people at home and in the nursery, I know you are laser focused on me, so thank you. If you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. And as you can see, children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Hello, everybody in the nursery. And this is intergenerational worship, so what do we expect? Joyful noise. Amen. We gather this morning acknowledging the land we are on, the rocks and waters of this land, the plants and animals of this land, the air we share. We also acknowledge the original people of this land, including the Nipmuc, Pawtucket, and Massachusetts people, as well as the legacy of the Natick Praying Indians, and all those who walked on this land before us, as well as our own ancestors. We remember ourselves as part of a web extending back in time, forward in time, and in every direction in time. We are welcoming the purple flags onto the lawn of FCC Natick, and we're going to bless them after worship today. These flags mark the loss of people to the opioid epidemic in Massachusetts over the last year, 2,125. The flags are with us through September 8th before going on to Newton Wellesley Hospital in the Brigham. And so again, immediately after worship, folks on site, I invite you to head out this door, joining Sarah Lynn and myself to bless the flags. This is one of the ways in which we care for those impacted by addiction. During coffee hour, another opportunity to go outside, we're having our pantry parade led by Outreach. We've got our basket down here this morning for contributions to the food, the Common Good Pantry. And during coffee hour, we will parade across the common and stock the shelves so that our neighbors will have food to eat. One other thing, we were technically planning on being down here next Sunday, but for a whole host of reasons, next Sunday we're gonna be in the sanctuary, still at 9:30, but in the sanctuary. So after worship today, we're gonna pack up these chairs. So folks on site, if you're able to help us pack up these chairs after worship, that would be great. I also have some chairs on the dais. This is your honey-do list. Some chairs on the dais in the sanctuary that need to go back into the choir room. So if we... folks at home, Lane is harassing me. If we can get all those chairs up however many steps they need to go, that would be awesome. And part of why we're doing all that is because this week, it's back to school! Woo! And in our space, we will be welcoming both the Achieve program and the Y After School program. All right, enough of the busyness of the church. Now on to the business of the church, which is connecting with the living God. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time, is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light." Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Kate. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings, come as you are. Bring your blessings and your burdens. Come as you are. God is here, all around us. Come as you are. Come, let's worship together. Come as you are. Our opening hymn is Creating God, Your Fingers Trace. If you joined last week's worship, you might remember it as the closing hymn, but don't worry. This is the tune Reverend Cindy meant us to sing, one that is much more familiar. She just wanted to redeem this hymn for us all. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit. Our centering prayer this morning begins with a bit of silence. In the quiet, look around, in the vestry and at home. What do you see that reminds you God is present with you? At home, maybe you can see a tree, branches reaching towards the sky, or dishes left over from breakfast, a reminder of our amazing bodies and the fuel they need. In the vestry, maybe it's the candles in the front lit as a sign of God's presence, or the person sitting nearby, even if you are meeting them for the first time, they carry the image of God. Seeing God all around us, we come together in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, give us a sign of your presence in our midst and what this world was made it be. Maybe it will be a song, an embrace, an image. Maybe it will be a pearl, a mustard seed, a sheep. Maybe it will be a table, some leaven, a loaf. So many ways for you to show up, creative God. Just give us a sign like the ones Jesus described, even as he taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, for somebody today, you will be the face of God, the hands of God, the voice of God, the compassion of God, the peace of God. God is working through you in the world. What a responsibility and what a joy. So let's turn to each other on site and online and let that God light shine. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
tell me that. Okay. This year, our children focused on the parables of Jesus during Godly Play all the weeks of the summer. And one of the lessons that they heard was the one that I'm going to tell you today in the Word for All Ages. I would love to invite any kids who might want to come down and just sit around down here, just like you would in Godly Play. If anybody wants to come and sit right here, and it doesn't have to just be kids. It can be children of all ages can lean into this story. Do you guys want to come down and hear it? Here comes Heather. Okay, good. Good. Now, this will be a different experience than Godly Play, because when we do Godly Play, we're all sitting in a circle on the floor, and the lesson sits in the middle of that circle. It's there for everybody to see and be a part of. In order for the people here in chairs to be able to see, I'm going to do it here kind of upright, which will be a little bit different, really a little weird. So forgive any of the awkwardness of the way that this lesson is told, but open your heart and your mind to think and wonder about this story and parable that Jesus told. Well, this box is certainly gold. It's precious, because gold is precious, and parables are precious, so maybe there is a parable inside. It almost looks like a present, and parables are like presents. Parables were given to us, given to you, before you were born. Now, you might not know this parable yet. It might not feel like it's yours, but it is. It was given to you. And sometimes parables are hard to get into. This box has a lid, and sometimes it's so hard to open. Sometimes it feels like you can't get inside the parable. They're tricky like that. But if you keep coming back, you keep trying again, coming back, and eventually the parable might open for you. So let's see if there's a parable inside. What's this? I have no idea. It's kind of brownish, kind of yellowy brown or tan. I don't know. Well, it's a place to, a blanket. It could be a shawl.
No, a cape. No.
Maybe it's a cape. No? Okay. Well, let's put it here. Let's put it here. And we'll see. Let's see if there's anything else inside the box that might help us to set up this parable. Nope, I have some bad news. There's nothing else. It's just the lesson. So, once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people just had to follow him. And as they were with him, they heard him talk about a kingdom like they had never seen before. It was not a kingdom that they lived in. It was not a kingdom that they had ever visited. It was not a kingdom they had ever even heard of. And so they had to ask him, what is the kingdom of heaven really like? And one time, this is what he said. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who took 3 measures of flour and mixed it all up. She added some leaven. And mixed that in. And it rose up and puffed up. Just like the bread you buy in the store. I wonder if this woman has a name. Where's Declan? He's usually good at throwing out answers. Paige, what do you think?
Sarah.
Sarah? Maybe that's a great name.
I like that name.
I wonder if she was happy. I wonder if you have ever seen this before. Not the parable, not bread, but whatever this leaven is. What could this leaven really be? Love, maybe. I wonder if you could take all of these things apart now that they've been mixed together and make it the way it was before the leaven was added. These are just some of the wonderings that you might have about this parable of the leaven. But they're not all the wonderings that might be. So you can take your heart and your mind and wonder for yourself a little bit more.
Now that Sarah Lynn has told us the parable as a story, we'll hear the text as presented in the New Revised Standard Version. It shows up in the Gospels of both Luke and Matthew. We'll hear from Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Yes, just one verse. The parable is short, but there's still a lot to unpack, so Reverend Cindy and I will do that together.
So the 13th chapter of Matthew includes at least 7 parables in one chapter, and at least 3 speeches from Jesus about parables. Jesus keeps using these mysterious little stories to teach people about the kingdom of God, as you heard Sarah Lynn reference. Clearly, this kingdom of God concept is complex, otherwise Jesus wouldn't resort to parables, so it's hard for me to sum up quickly. But for now, think of the kingdom of God as what the world would be like if it was the way God made it to be, a place of justice and abundance, compassion and peace.
Hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus told them another parable.
This morning's parable comes right in the middle of the set, which might not be a coincidence.
The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took.
Okay, just a few words in, and the New Revised Standard Version differs from the Godly Play Version in two ways. Did you catch them? Sarah Lynn did. She's over there like, yeah. So Sarah Lynn talked about leaven, and the NRSV says yeast. We'll come back to that in a minute. Also, the Godly Play Version starts, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman, whereas the NRSV said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. So one version says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, the other says the kingdom of heaven is like a woman. How can that be? How can the same parable be told in ways that focus on different things? Well, that is actually the nature of parables, but it's more than that. How many iPhones do you think the disciples had to record Jesus' teaching? Put up some none? Zero. Okay. How many camcorders, right? It was a while ago. No. How many tape recorders? So nobody got a perfect recording of what Jesus said telling this parable. Is that what I'm understanding? Yeah. Even if they did, scholars believe that Jesus told this parable over and over as he traveled from place to place, and chances are he didn't tell it the exact same way every time. And then other people started telling the story. Remember the parable Jesus told, the one about the kingdom of God? Until finally, decades after Jesus' death, somebody started writing them down. And then they made lots of copies of what they wrote down in different languages. So we think the original might have been Greek, but it also could have been Aramaic. Some of the stuff people wrote down didn't even make it in the Bible for one reason or another, like the Gospel of Thomas, which tells this parable a little different than the Gospel of Matthew, and that's the version Godly Play decided to focus on. Are you still with me? Let's stick with the NRSV version of the parable and allow Kate to continue.
The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour.
Okay, so usually I like the NRSV because it sticks very close to the original as much as it can, but it is being kind of a pain with this parable, although other translations do the same thing. Kate said the woman mixed in the yeast. Who is now picturing that little foil packet, right, that you dump into the bread recipe, right? Yeah, the woman mixes in the yeast, stirring it into the flour and water. Except the Greek word in the verse is actually ekrypto. Let me spell that last part for you. K-R-Y-P-T-O. Remind you of anything? Crypto, cryptography, cryptic, all related to something hidden. The woman didn't mix the yeast or leaven into the other ingredients. She hid it. I wonder why she hid it. The kingdom of God is like something hidden, has a different feeling from the kingdom of God is like something mixed in. Let's hear a little more.
The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour.
3 measures of flour. That is an ancient measurement. Anyone want to guess how much that is? If you are, Chloe does not want to guess. If you're picturing 3 cups, no. It is 144 cups of flour. It is about 50 pounds. 3 measures of flour is about 50 pounds. pounds of flour. That is a lot of flour. It's enough to make about 52 loaves of bread. I wonder why the woman needed all that bread. Let's let Kate finish the parable.
The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid in 144 cups of flour until all of it was leavened.
Finally, we had that word leaven show up. Did you hear it there? The same Greek word gets translated in the same verse, once as yeast and another as leaven, in the same verse, same word. My guess is that the New Revised Standard Version team thought they were being helpful, that they were updating the language to something familiar to folks when they talked about yeast rather than leaven, that more of us have seen those foil packets in the grocery store. But post-COVID, the best update might be to call it sourdough starter. Am I the only one who didn't bake during COVID? Was I the only one? Everybody was sharing sourdough starter just like that, which is a type of leaven. You take flour and water, warmth and time, and the mix takes it the naturally existing yeast in our environment until it is all bubbly and smelly and helpful for baking. Personally, these words and picturing this makes me want to give up eating bread, which is my favorite food. But in case sourdough starters are new to you, the science is that the enzymes in the naturally occurring yeast spores break down the starch in the flour and convert it into glucose, i.e., it all ferments, and then the starter acts as a leavening agent when mixed in with more dough. So let's let Kate read that one more time.
The kingdom of heaven is like sourdough starter that a woman took and hid in 144 cups of flour until all of it was leavened.
I wonder what a woman hiding sourdough starter in a ton of flour has to do with the world becoming the kingdom the way God meant it to be.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the wisdom and the vision to live them.
Amen. Thank you, Kate. Just FYI, we've already done most of the sermon this morning, so don't worry about a lot of blah, blah, blah still ahead of you, but there is a second reading, and this is called A Future Not Our Own by Catholic Bishop John Dearden. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's vision. No set of goals and objectives include everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing this. That enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning. A step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Amen. I wonder what a woman hiding sourdough starter in a ton of flour has to do with the world becoming the kingdom the way God meant it to be. Well, a relationship between bread and God's vision isn't much of a stretch, and not just because I spend a lot of my life focused on both two of my favorite things, kingdom and bread. What other times does bread show up in Scripture, folks on site? What can you think of? Loaves and fishes, feeding the whole bunches. Did I hear another one? Passover, when the people were fleeing slavery in Egypt, so they could not wait for the bread to rise, so they made bread without leaven. What else?
Last Last Supper.
The Last Supper, when Jesus says, "Remember me whenever there is bread around." What else? Let's think earliest days. Abraham and Sarah make bread for three guests, God and two angels. What about once the Israelites made it out of Egypt? Then what happened? Manna in the wilderness. Excellent. They were given enough bread for the day. Getting enough bread for the day or bread for tomorrow, does that sound familiar to you? The Jesus prayer. Jesus taught people to pray, "Give us our bread for tomorrow." So it seems like in Scripture, God shows up in bread. Bread that feeds us when we are hungry. Bread that comforts us when we are grieving. Bread we take with us on the journey. Bread that is with us as our lives are changing. Okay, so Jesus then could have just said, "The kingdom of heaven is like bread, filling, fulfilling, and close at hand." Why didn't Jesus just say, "The kingdom of heaven is like bread"? Why the stuff about the hiding, fermenting sludge in bushels of flour? Why do we need to go down that road? Well, sometimes the kingdom of God is sneaky. It's hidden. It's surreptitious. It's out of sight. When the powers that be are out on parade, with a show of force blaring from the rooftops, the kingdom is grassroots, building from the bottom up, on the down low so it can't be controlled. The woman hides the sourdough starter in the flour and water paste, and before anybody knows what's going on, everything is changing from the inside out. But still, like 50 pounds of flour, we're gonna need a bigger bowl. What does the woman need all that bread for? Well, to feed the world, of course. That's God's kingdom, a place of ridiculous abundance. Forget keeping track of yours and mine. In the kingdom, there's enough to share and more. Although, can one woman really work 50 pounds of flour all by herself? Why would she want to? My guess is that a sentence was dropped from the parable over the years. The kingdom of heaven is like sourdough starter that a woman took and hid in 144 cups of flour until all of it was leavened. Then her neighbors came to help her, and they made enough bread to feed the world. This is the kingdom of God. People working together, knowing that all of us are needed and nothing is up to us alone. Declaring that there is beautiful abundance if we share what we have with each other. Disrupting political, religious, and economic injustice while never straying from the way of love. We are the kingdom of God. We are the 144 cups of flour ready to be put to use, to be stretched and changed and become more than we ever imagined. We are the woman and her friends, strengthening the muscles of our arms as we knead the bread to feed the world. We are the leaven, sometimes in the dark, always needing to be fed, but bubbling up in the name of love to create the kingdom of God. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you're invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org as we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today?
Children's
Kate?
Voices.
Was that Jeanette?
Children's
I heard Jeanette celebrating children's voices. That is a joy. Thank you, Jeanette. Kate?
Celebration for my sister who was safely and healthy delivered other, the talking is done today. My sister had her baby. Everyone is home. Everyone is healthy. Everyone is doing great. So we are, even though he's all the way in Ohio, we are loving the fact that he's with us now.
We welcome this baby to Ohio. Kate's sister has had her child. And have you gotten to see? No, just pictures. Okay, but they are in the world, and we celebrate with all of them. Thanks, Kate. Sarah Lynn?
I celebrate having my daughter Catherine with me this weekend. We went for a lovely kayak paddle on the Charles yesterday.
Oh, Sarah Lynn is celebrating having Catherine here this weekend and kayaking time as well in this beautiful weather. Thanks, Sarah Lynn. Lane, do you have any joys over there? Chloe. Chloe, we are so glad that your friend is here with us today. Welcome, and there is snack after worship. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Declan. Right. So this is a week of a lot of change. We have a lot of people who are starting a new school year, and some people are starting not just a new grade, but a new school, right, Declan, who is already done with me? You're starting a new school, right? And starting a new school is a really big deal because you have to find your way and you know your teachers, and sometimes everything feels really big. Oh, however, for some of us, the new school we're starting at is right near Dairy Queen. And I think we all know what that means. Okay, right down the street by Dairy Queen. So I think the first day of school, I'm just going to go get ice cream and wave to the school buses as they go by. So we hold in prayer with joy everyone who is in a time of transition, and we hold in prayer everyone who is in a time of transition this week. One of those complicated concerns. I'm holding in prayer today the purple flags that are on our property. Next Saturday, August 31st, is International Overdose Awareness Day. And part of what that day does is helps us all support families impacted by an overdose death, as well as working to prevent future overdoses. And it's a year-round effort, but it is helpful to have us focus on it from time to time. So we join with SOAR Natick. SOAR stands for Supporting Outreach and Addiction Recovery, by hosting the flags through September 8th. And again, immediately after worship, we will head outside to bless them. Lane, do you have any concerns?
Only that the Dairy Queen will be closing for the same couple of months.
Killjoy Lane has decided to let everybody know that Dairy Queen is only seasonal and will be closing. It's open for back to school, so we're going to count that as a joy. One of the last places that is truly intergenerational, and I think that is one of the biggest joys that we have. Yeah, Deb. Oh, so we're holding in prayers Pam, who is facing stage 4 cancer, and so we are holding her everyone who is in her family and her treatment team, as well as her friends, in prayer. All right. Our prayer this morning is by Marianne Williamson from her book Illuminata. Her words lay a path for how God's kingdom is made real. Let's be together in prayer. Dear God, we pray for this, our world. We ask that you remove the walls that separate us and the chains that hold us down. Use us to create a new world on earth, one that reflects your will, your vision, your peace. In this moment, we recognize the power that you have given us to create anew the world we want. Today's world, dear God, reflects our past confusion. Now, in this moment, we ask for a new light. Illumine our minds. Use us, dear God, as never before for the healing of this world. May we no longer be at war with each other. May we no longer be at war with ourselves. Remove from our hearts the illusion that we are separate. May every nation and every people and every color and every religion find at last the one heartbeat we share. Through you, our common Father, Mother, and the Redeemer of broken dreams, we ask that we may not hold on to yesterday. May we not obscure your vision of tomorrow, but rather may you flood our hearts, flow through us, work through us, that in our lives we might see the illumined world. Create, sustain the world on earth, dear God, for us and for our children. Alleluia at the thought. Praise God the possibility that such a thing could come to be through you, through your light that shines within us. So may it be. So may it be. Amen. Did you know a lawn could be a resource for ministry and mission? The grassy area around this historical building is regularly a place where community is created, justice is demonstrated, and compassion is on display. Sometimes it's the yard signs and banners we post for other organizations. Sometimes it's the bubbles kids play with at Natick nights. Right now it's the purple flags that show families who have lost someone to overdose that they are not alone. And none of that would be possible without your generosity. Your contributions pay for the grass to be mowed, the plans to come together, the building in the center of town to be a community resource. And so as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we do so with gratitude for a place for flags to be planted, and with gratitude for your gifts that make it possible. God of love, bless these gifts, and especially those who need us to tell them the ways in which they are your beloved children. Amen. Our closing hymn, is number 353, Called as Partners in Christ's Service. If you have a minute to help, we'll put some chairs away. Rick, maybe you can direct us with putting the chairs away. And we have coffee and snacks from Sarah and Doug. Thank you. And if a couple people will help me put away the chairs from the stairs on the dais, it'd be so helpful. Thank you. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, honor all persons, honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.